I'm curious just to get a little bit of a barometer in the room, or as far as experience or not experience. If this is your very first day long, I am thrilled that you're here, because then I get to introduce you to the practice. So you absolutely belong here. I wonder how many people is that so far? This is the first practice period. Great. Okay, welcome. If you've done retreats, say, of a week or longer, intensive practice retreats. Raise your hand. Okay. Very seasoned group. If you've done, four or more retreats. Let me see. Okay. I better be on. Then. You guys know what I'm, what I might be talking about. Let's see, we're doing fine, right on schedule. We just posted the schedule up on the window, and this first period will be here until for an hour. I'll be sharing a little bit about the day and about practicing together. Give instructions, and I'll be giving instructions throughout the day. So if you're new to practice, you know, hopefully it will all be clear. And if not, then there'll be a chance to check in. We'll do a little bit of Q&A right at the end of this, near the end of this period as well. Let's see, there was something also. Oh, yeah. If you're here for today and tomorrow, for both weekend, for both days of the weekend, just raise your hand. Good, good. And if you need to leave, if you're not planning on being here tomorrow, I'm curious, raise your hand. Just one, two. Okay, great. Because what I want to do is go as we go through the 2 days together, go deeper into practice. And today in the afternoon, I'll do a group interview for people who are brand new or very new. And tomorrow we'll have a chance for more group interviews, so that everybody will have a chance in a smaller setting to check in about practice during the walking periods. Also this afternoon, while I'm doing that group interview, we can start to have for a limited number of people and more tomorrow, a chance for those who want to check in about their practice in an individual setting. Margot is graciously available for to do three interviews during that walking period that I do the group. And Jane, my wife, also would be available to check in about your individual practice. And Jane, I'll just mention for a moment, and she'll be teaching next weekend with me on the Awakening Joy retreat. She's been practicing since 1976. That's 38 years, a fair amount of time. Lots of longer retreats, and was on the board of Spirit Rock for the first 8 years, and really helped establish and look for the land with a small handful of people, and helped establish the our home at Spirit Rock, which we didn't get the land, just to clarify, we didn't get the land till 1986, and started on having intensive practice retreats in 1998, but we had teachings from 86 on. But in 78, I did start teaching, and we would use other facilities until we got Spirit Rock. So anyway, Jane, who also teaches mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, many of you are familiar with, and is teaching mindful self-compassion these days, Started the family program with me at Spirit Rock. Anyway, she's got a wealth of Dharma experience and does sign-ups for when I'm teaching. Let's see. Oh, I'm curious. How many people are planning on doing next weekend as well? Okay. So, and that's going to be, rather than an intensive practice weekend, it will be more of a workshop style with some practice, just in case. I think there are some spaces for that. I think there's about 80 people that are that have said they wanted to come, but we have room for more. We overbook here because you never know. But anyway, that's a way to see how practice is applied in very practical, experiential ways in our daily life, and I'll talk more about that towards the end of the weekend. So here we are sitting together, practicing together for a weekend, which is, when you think about it, an extraordinary thing that somehow you decided to spend this weekend, which you could have been doing lots of other things. It's not even raining out, or actually you probably need as much rain as we can, but it's a beautiful weekend day, and but you've decided to come and connect with yourself and to look inside and access the truth, access all the good qualities that are there inside of you, waiting to be remembered or to deepening that connection, which in itself is really extraordinary karma, that you both have the inclination and the opportunity to do this. Out of all the things you could be doing, I think it's a particularly good choice, not just because I'm here, but because it's really one of the most profound ways to make friends with ourselves and even more deeply open up to life in a very significant way that allows us to show up for our lives besides the quiet time here. That the way I see it, the more we can get in touch with our own beautiful qualities inside, which seem to be much more accessible in the quiet when there's not so much static going on, the more we can share those qualities with the world. So I hope as you're going through this weekend, you see that you're not just doing it for yourself to reduce some stress, which would be nice if that happens. Hopefully that will happen. But even more, that you're adding a bit more consciousness to the world, a bit more kindness to the world, a bit more caring, and having the support to express your gifts, whatever you've been gifted with in this life, as best as possible, because we need as much consciousness and love as we can. So, a few words about practicing here. This is a time where we stop as best we can all our outward engagement and activity. There'll still probably be a few thoughts going on in your mind about what is happening in your life. But for this period, without being having any tasks to do or any responsibilities other than just going inside, we can, as I said, really make friends with ourselves. Sometimes it's been said that self-knowledge is usually bad news, but I don't believe it. That actually, when you are in touch with, willing to be in touch with everything inside, along with all the thoughts and all the worries and all the memories or anticipations, they are all held in a space of real kindness and love that's there waiting to be remembered. And the way we do this, it's very, very simple, this practice. It's merely being present for your life. Why not? Right. What's the alternative? The alternative is what we usually are engaged in, which is in our stories and in our thoughts about the past, about the future, about fantasy, what would be nice to happen, and we miss out on our life. So this is simply coming into this moment without getting lost in our evaluations or our judgments about how this moment should be. It's one thing to be here in the moment, but usually there's an editorial comment, this is good, life is cooperating now, or this is lousy, and if I were running the world, the universe, I'd do a much better job than this. This is simply being here and opening up to it just as it is, without wishing it were different, without trying to manipulate or control, but to simply learn to be with things as they are. That's what the word vipassana, perhaps you've seen, if you're not familiar with that word, maybe you've seen it, vipassana meditation, this is sometimes called. Vipassana simply means to see things clearly, just to see things as they are. And to do that, you need to be here in the present. As you see things as they are,
before we go on, is there any water? Do I have any water?
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Once you start paying attention and seeing things, even a little bit as they are, something becomes increasingly apparent, and that is that our experience is continually changing. To understand this, not just conceptually, but experientially, you sit and there's the breath, and there's a sound, and there's a sensation, and then there's a thought, and then there's another thought, maybe another thought, and then there's the breath, and moods all coming and going. You see for yourself how everything is changing. And in that understanding that everything changes, you realize that holding on to changing experience is futile. And the more we can open up and honor the basic fact of change, the more we can be here for the ride instead of trying to get to some fantasy land, final destination of bliss. However good your experience might be this weekend or in your life, it changes. And knowing that, we're not so confused when it does. However challenging this moments in this weekend or in your life are, they will change too. That's the good news. You'll probably smile again. You'll probably laugh again and appreciate wherever you are. So it's not to try to get anywhere, and it's not to fix where you are now in this exercise of just being mindful, but you start to see ups, downs, they all come and go, and I can simply be here for the ride, not only be here for the ride, but it's possible to enjoy the ride. just because we're not fighting it. That requires one other aspect besides the presence, which is the non-judgment. So this is called a non-judging awareness. And you might say, oh, all I have to do is be here for my experience and not judge it. Good luck. Good luck turning off that judgment from the mind, because there's a very strong evaluator. So you might be sitting here and realizing, you know, oh, this isn't going so well. And then you see, oh, that was a judgment. I'm not supposed to be judging. Darn it. Oh, I just did it again. That's another judgment. And you can add one judgment on top of the other and judge the judging, or judge the judging of the judging. There's no way out of that unless you wake up to the fact that the judging can be there and you don't have to judge it. Oh, and there's judging in the mind. It's okay. As soon as you don't judge the judging, you're free. So if you notice reactions and frustrations or whatever, they can all be held with a very kind awareness. And in that, you start to see this human experience. In the Buddha has this line that I find very inspiring. He says, in this fathom-long body, 6 feet, give or take a foot and a half standard deviation, in this fathom-long body, the whole of life is revealed. So this is your laboratory to explore what it means to be human. Besides what you see in there, the more you understand this one, the more you understand the predicament and the situation that we're all in. We've all been issued these bodies and minds, and we can understand this one to understand and feel connected with everyone. This is also called insight meditation. And you might be concerned that you go through a whole weekend and don't have one insight. Okay? I will guarantee you, you will probably very shortly see the most one of the most significant insights in doing this practice, and that is the mind is completely out of control. That might sound depressing or bad news. It's great news when you realize it, because if you realize that your mind is out of control, you don't have to blame yourself for what comes through it, right? You can have the most bizarre, mundane, petty, profound thoughts. They're all coming and going. They're all coming and going on their own. And you don't have to take responsibility or credit or blame for anything that goes through. What you can do is train the mind. And you can train it by simply coming back each time you realize that you've gotten lost in its stories. The mind and thoughts are not the enemy. Thoughts can be beautiful. Thoughts created this weekend and this center. But we want to be clear enough to see which thoughts to empower and which thoughts to let fly by. You know, blowing up the world. Oh, that's an interesting thought. Okay, I don't have to act on it, right? Oh, loving my dear friend. That's a good thought. Let me really give that energy. So in this insight meditation, just to see, you don't have to control the mind, just to notice it. And how you notice it, the attitude that you bring to this practice makes all the difference in the world. And I find three elements make all the difference. Letting the mind be relaxed, because if it's tight, if it's trying to pounce on our experience, it just creates that contraction that doesn't see things clearly. So you want the mind to be relaxed, that is open, but not lazy. And the key to being connected is the second quality, interested. To let yourself be interested in this moment of your life. You have a finite number of moments in your life. Who knows how many? But they are limited. Be here for this one. The more you can learn to be here for this one, the chances are you'll be here for others as well. And it takes practice to be here. You will find your mind wandering off. All you need to do is just come back each time. So relaxed, interested, and kind awareness. When your mind wanders, don't get into beating yourself up. In fact, the key moment in this meditation practice, and if you get this, you will save yourself tremendous hassle. The key moment, the way I see it anyway, as you're practicing, is the moment that you realize you've been wandering. While you're wandering, there's not much you can do. Is there? You are gone. You might be gone for just a few seconds or 5 minutes or 15 minutes, gone. At some point, and it's helpful to be in a room full of people who are meditating, when you come back, you might realize, oh, meditating, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Okay. At that point, you have a choice how to deal with the fact that you've gone. One very common response is, there I was gone. Let's get back here and do this right. You can hear in that perhaps the judgment, the frustration, the discouragement, the agitation that comes when you have that response. And what you're doing is cultivating judgment, frustration, discouragement, and agitation with a little bit of awareness thrown in. No extra credit for that. Beating yourself up. Another very common response is, oh, I've been thinking, but this is a very interesting thought. Let me just go with this one. And when you've done it, you've bitten a bait and gotten hooked, gone again. So not recommended if you can not be seduced by your thoughts, no matter how troublesome or how seductive they are, beautiful they are, just thoughts coming and going. And the recommended response when you see that you've wandered, instead of being discouraged, appreciate the fact, just a mini appreciation, that you've just come back to the present moment. Ah, here we are. And then let that reconnection and return be done with great kindness, patience, and the sincere intention to be here once again. In that coming back, you are cultivating kindness, patience, forgiveness, presence, all in the return. So if you don't do anything else, if your mind wanders 100 times in the meditation, great. If you're bringing it back 99 times, at least that way, you are training it in a very significant way. So make that the forward edge of your practice. When your mind wanders, can I bring it back in a very loving way? And many of you, I'm sure, have heard the image of training a puppy to stay on some paper. You don't want it to run out in the street or jump on people. You want it to stay when you say stay. You put the puppy on the paper. What happens? Runs off. You bring it back. Stay. Stay. Think of your mind as this cute, frisky, energetic puppy dog that doesn't know any better, wanders off, goes back to high school prom. Okay, come on back, stay. Wanders off again, makes a mess. What am I going to do with my life when I grow up? Come on back, stay. No matter how old you are, that question still arises. Each time it wanders off, come on back. Here we are again. And that's where the training occurs. Okay, any question on that? So we'll start off with the very basic fact that when you're sitting here, you are breathing. And the breath and the body can always be your home base, like when you're playing tag and your mind and somebody's chasing you around. When you come back to home base, safe, it's a refuge. So we'll have some initial instructions, and as I say, we'll expand over the course of the day and days.